Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into Unique Life Starring You. This show airs every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/younique.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. Now here is your host of Unique, Susan Stackpole.
Thank you so much, Corey, and thank you, listeners, for joining us here on YO Unique, Life Starring You. We're so delighted to have you with us, and we are what we are because of you, so thank you so much. We have a little pet project here at Unique called Pray It Forward. And what that is we just ask that when you see disconcerting things in the media, that you send some love and positive energy and prayers their way. There is scientific documentation that shows that positive energy does have the power to change and improve a situation. So we appreciate you joining us in that project. We have an extra special, fabulous guest with us tonight, just delightful, Lisa Coffey. I'll share with you a little bit about Lisa, and then we'll bring her on. Lisa Coffey is a lifestyle and relationship expert, and she serves up an inspiring blend of ancient wisdom and modern style. She's the host of the online web series Coffee Buzz, Your Lifestyle Wired. Lisa is best-selling author, and her most recent book is Closure and the Law of Relationships, Ending is New Beginnings. Lisa is fondly known as the Dosha Diva, and she is world-renowned as the authority on Ayurveda and relationships. Her book is on the topic of include What's Your Dosha, Baby? Discovering the Vedic Way for Compatibility in Life and Love. She's been on the Today Show, and you've probably seen her different places, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Please visit her website at www.coffeetalk.com, and that's CoffeeyTalk.com, and that will take you to some of her other websites as well. Welcome to the program, Lisa. We're delighted to have you with us.
Oh, thanks so much. So delighted to be with you again. Wonderful. I love your show.
Well, you just grace us with your presence and your wisdom, and I know that I always end up taking notes, as I imagine our listeners do as well. So thank you for being with us.
Sure.
Lisa, for those who may just be joining us for the first time, share with us a little bit about how you came to become so passionate about Ayurveda and what that is.
Yeah, well, back in 1997, something like that, way back when, I was working on a book called The Healthy Family Handbook. And in that book, we looked at 9 different healing modalities, like color therapy, aromatherapy, acupressure, things like that. And one of the modalities was Ayurveda. And when I read about it, something just really resonated with me. And I'm just like, this is so perfect. I mean, it made so much sense to me. It called to me. And I said, this is my thing. I love it. How can I get enough of it, you know? So I went down to, at that time, really the only person who was talking about Ayurveda was Deepak Chopra.
Okay.
I figure, okay, he's the guy. I gotta meet this Deepak Chopra. So I went down to La Jolla, where he was teaching at the time, and took a class with him. And I expressed my passion to him and told him what I was doing. And he said, great, you know, keep doing it. And you should be a teacher, and let's do this and let's do that. And he was kind enough to endorse my next book that came out, and I took all of his classes and became a teacher with the Chopra Center. And then I went on to study with Dr. Vasant Ladd, who's like the world's renowned expert in Ayurveda, and he's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So he got the web name Ayurveda.com, so he was on it before anybody, right?
He used to it.
Yeah. So he was the first. And Dr. Ladd ended up writing the foreword to my What's Your Dosha Baby book. So, I've been living the lifestyle since I learned about it in 1997. And I just feel like I'm a living example of how much good Ayurveda can do in your life. So I'm really happy, I'm really healthy, and I'm 51, and you know, I should be having all these symptoms of menopause and everything, and I don't, and it's all because of Ayurveda.
And that's such a wonderful endorsement, Lisa, that you lead by example, and that it's something that you've applied in your own life that you've seen has really blessed you, and that you're able to go out into the world and share that with others as well. And I think that's so great. That's always a ringing endorsement when someone is living and walking and talking what it is that they, I guess, preach in the world. And so kudos to you for that.
Thanks. Yeah, and, you know, I've applied it in my relationships as well with my children who, you know, they're like normal kids. They're adults now. But, like, I had lunch with my son today, and I watched what he was eating, and I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, I did have an influence on him. Look at how healthy he's eating. And I was bursting at my buttons. Like, here's this 22-year-old that could be just eating junk like most 22-year-olds do on the fly or whatever. And he had a turkey turkey sandwich on a whole grain bagel with spinach and tomatoes, and I'm like, oh, this is so good. So I was really proud of him.
All right. We love that. Lisa, let's talk a little bit about, especially from a dietary standpoint, and then we'll start to get into relationships and life purpose and all that sort of great things, all those sorts of great things as we progress here. I know from my own experience and I forget until I maybe am not as mindful with my diet what an effect that can have on everything in our lives, our health, our mood, our attitude. Share with us a little bit about how Ayurveda can help people create a healthy foundation in the body first.
Yeah, what's interesting is in Ayurveda, they say there are three pillars to health. One is food, one is sleep, and one is relationships. So if you get these three pillars, it's like this, you know, like a three-legged stool. You want them all to be solid and on the ground, and that is what's going to support you. So food is very important. And, you know, if you look at what your dosha is, then that'll tell you a lot about what you should be eating and what's best to keep you in balance. Because Ayurveda is all about keeping you in balance. It's not about curing whatever illness you have, or, you know, like in Western medicine, what they do is that, you know, if you have a cold or if you have a flu or if you have a bruise or whatever it is, it's like, oh, how do we get that out of you? How do we take that away? They're always treating the symptoms. They're always, you know, looking at treating that. But in Ayurveda, it says, okay, let's treat you, and how do we bring you back into a balance? Where are you off balance? Where is your state of balance, and how do we bring you back to that? So it's a very preventive form of health care. And the very first thing that they stress more than anything is food. Food is medicine in Ayurveda. It's what, you know, what you eat is what you are. It's what you take in, and it becomes your body. So, you know, if you're a Vata type, and Vata types would be people who are more lanky, I would say. They're more naturally thin. They're people, you can be tall or short, but they're the kind of people where if you look at their wrists, you can see those bones poking out a little bit. You can see the veins through their skin. You know, they tend to have dry skin, dry hair. Vatas are very creative in their personality. A lot of people who have ADD, who just, like, go from one thing to the next, that's really a Vata imbalance. There's just too much Vata in their system. Vata is air and space. So, you know that phrase, oh, you're such an airhead? Well, that's Vata. You know, it's like, oh, I can't remember this, or I didn't know that. It's Vata. You really did know it. You really could remember it, but you're out of balance, so it's more difficult for you. So Vatas need to eat warm cooked foods. So because Vatas have a very sensitive digestion, and Ayurveda says that food, in order to be assimilated into our body, needs to be cooked. And it can be cooked either on the inside of our body or on the outside of our body. Well, if it's cooked on the outside of their body, then that's easier for the vitamins and minerals and everything. It's easier to digest. If the food is raw, like, you know, the raw diet's been really popular for a few years, then that means the food has to be cooked on the inside of the body, which means that you have a very, very strong digestive fire. And Vatas just don't have that. Pittas have that. Pittas have a lot of fire in them, so they can tolerate raw foods. But if Vatas have raw foods and the stomach is struggling and struggling and struggling to cook that food, all Vatas are going to get is gas. It's not pretty.
But it's so fascinating that, you know, two people can sit down for the same meal, and where it might be really beneficial for one, it may not have the same effect on another, and it supports exactly everything that you share in all of the books, Lisa, about this idea of really what does it mean about self-care and knowing yourself and knowing what works for you and what's best for you. And would love to have you talk a little bit about the significance of that and share with us a little bit more. I know that you have some specific websites where people can get more information. Would love to have you share with us more about how Ayurveda is about self-care and how that's the foundation for everything else.
Yeah, the first thing I want people to do, if you're on the line listening right now, go to whatsyourdosha.com. And when you go to whatsyourdosha.com, you'll see a link that says take the dosha quiz. And you can take this very simple quiz. It's just 24 questions, really easy, no right or wrong answers. But the quiz will tell you what your dosha is. And your dosha is your mind-body type. So once you know your dosha or your mind-body type, you'll be given specific recommendations for diet and lifestyle and exercise, all kinds of things, even specific foods that are better for you or more difficult for you to digest. So that's kind of the first step, is knowing your mind-body type. Now, there are three mind-body types, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Each of us have all of those within our physiology, because the doshas are really made up of the five elements, air, space, fire, water, and earth. And we all have air, space, fire, water, and earth in our physiology. You know, our bones represent kind of the earthiness and those little holes, those little space between those bones, that's the space and the air that flows through us and the air we breathe into our lungs and the fire that fuels our digestion and that gives us our body heat, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we all have those, but in different proportions. No two people are alike. So you want to look at which elements kind of express themselves more profoundly, more loudly in your physiology. And that will determine your dosha, whether you're a Vata, Pitta, or Kapha.
Lisa, what's one example, just while we're on that point, of something that calls out to people that's expressed loudly in their body type, especially for people who may just be being introduced to this the first time? Could you give us a quick example of that so they know what to look for?
Sure. So Vata is the one that's air and space, and that's kind of the lead dosha. And a lot of, since it moves so quickly, a lot of illnesses stem from a Vata imbalance. And Vata's air and space tends to be dry. So you can have dry skin, and the dryness can show up in your digestive tract. Vatas are prone to constipation. They're thirsty. They get dry throats. They're, like, you can see, like, by the end of this interview, my throat is going to be like, I can hardly talk, you know, because I'm a Vata, and I got to have, you know, I need more moisture all the time because I get dried out. And also, Vatas talk really quickly.
Okay.
If you think of in nature, it's not just people who are Vatas. In nature, there are Vatas represented. A hummingbird is a Vata. Very light, very quick, you know, going from place to place to place. You never know where they're going to go. Unpredictable. Okay, that's a Vata. So an example of a Pitta bird would be more like an eagle. An eagle's more sturdy, not fat or anything, strong, muscular, but very directed. Eagles don't waste their energy flitting from place to place. They see their prey, swoop down and attack. You know, they use their energy in a focused, directed manner. Now, in terms of Kapha, which is more earth and water, they're more sturdy. They're more serene, more laid back. So the kind of bird who would represent Kapha would be more like a swan, taking its time, gliding along, not in any hurry, sweet, beautiful, absolutely beautiful, you know, but not really concerned about competition or anything, just, you know, enjoying the weather. That's the Kapha for you. So if you think about trees, think about a bamboo tree. Grows very quickly, right? Very light. Air circulates around it quite easily. It's very flexible. It bends and doesn't break. That's the Vata. Then the Pitta. Pitta, fire and water, one direction. Think of a pine tree growing up straight to the heavens. It doesn't meander around. It's directional. It goes straight up. It has a purpose, right? Then Kapha is more like the oak tree. Sturdy, grows slowly, deep roots, spread out. This is the Kapha personality. So you see it in nature all around us, and we see it in ourselves as well. So it's like, what do we relate to? How do we see this in ourselves, you know?
Oh,
are we
helpful.
An easygoing personality, or are we a little more hyper, a little more easily stressed out? Or are we a little more kind of bossy, we want to be the boss, or, you know, we get angry easily? Which, you know, which is it? And, you know, everybody has their own unique dosha. A dosha is kind of like your fingerprint. No two people are the same. But there are definitely three categories that we might fit into one of the categories more easily.
And that's so helpful, at least I think sometimes seeing things outside of ourselves, when you're speaking about animals and nature, that we can say, oh, right, I relate to that, sometimes even more easily than if we're analyzing ourselves to look for traits. So those were excellent examples. Thank you so much.
Well, and the other thing that is good about that is that it makes people understand that there's no bad dosha. I mean, very often people say to me, oh, I'm a Kapha, but I want to be a Vata. I'm like, you can't, it doesn't work that way. A swan doesn't want to be a hummingbird. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with a swan. If you're a swan, be a swan. Be a good swan. You know what I mean? Just embrace your swanness. Don't try to be a hummingbird.
I love that. For anyone just joining us, we're here with the beautiful and wise and talented Lisa Coffey, www.coffeytalk.com. Lisa, something you just said I think is so significant, especially now in the times that we're in, about embracing your you-ness, that you were saying, you know, if you're a swan, be a swan, and if you're a hummingbird, be a hummingbird.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about that, that you actually have done some work around that, about helping people identify their purpose, and you have a whole book and a website designed to help people with that. Please share with us a little bit about that, and then we'll talk a little bit more specifically about how people can zone in on their purpose.
Okay. Well, Ayurveda comes from Vedanta. Vedanta is like the world's oldest religion, and it is so deep in its roots. And really, when you look at Vedanta, it has all the answers to everything you could ever want. It's so big, it explains everything. I mean, I could never say it in a one-hour radio show, you know? So when I was looking at, you know, what's the next step after we know our dosha, then what's the next step? And I realized that, you know, I've studied a lot with Deepak Chopra, and before meditation, he always tells us to ask three questions. Who am I? What do I want? What is my purpose? And he says, don't necessarily look for the answers, but just put it out in there in the universe, because these are very important questions. These are like the questions of our life. What is my purpose? So I thought, okay, what does this mean, purpose? Purpose is so much more than our vocation, where we go to work every day. Purpose is, this is a big, important aspect of our life. So how do we know what this is? So, of course, I go back to Vedanta. In Vedanta, Dharma is the Sanskrit word that means purpose, Dharma. It means a lot of other things, too, teachings and lessons and all activity. It means all kinds of stuff. But purpose is what we're looking at. What is my purpose? So instead of reading all the Vedanta texts and trying to figure out, you know, what is my purpose? Because that's a huge, this is a lifelong quest, right?
Right, for a lot of people especially, yes.
Yeah, so I thought, you know what? I like these four yogas that they talk about in Vedanta, and I think this sums it all up. And just like we have three doshas, we have four dharmas. We have four purposes in life: to love, to serve, to know, and to be. This is our purpose in life. All four of those things simultaneously, this is our purpose in life. This is what we are here to do: to love, to experience relationships, you know, to be with other people, to love what we do, follow our passion, follow our bliss, all that kind of stuff. To serve, to help people. You know, in the law of relationship, it says we're here to help each other learn and grow. Not just here to learn and grow, we're here to help each other learn and grow. And then to know, we're students. We're students here. We're learning all the time. And just as we're students, we're teachers. So knowing is a very important aspect of our purpose on this life. And not just knowing, but sharing that knowledge. Because if we just know it and keep it to ourselves, what good does it do anybody, right?
Right, absolutely.
And, yeah, and then the last one is to be. We've spent a lifetime, ever since birth, focusing on the external. This is my toy. This is my mother. This is my house. This is my this. This is my that. These are our boundaries. This is our town. This is everything external. This is my school. This is my teacher. We need to relearn how to look inside of us, how to just be, how to be ourselves, not to just, you know, compare ourselves to other things and where do we fit in the context of everything, but to just be at one with everything and everyone. And understand that connectedness between all of us. So of these four paths, it's like if you picture a highway, and there's four lanes on the highway, and there's bhakti to love, karma to serve, jhana to know, and raja to be. Then we're each going down one of these highways. The scenery is exactly the same. All the lessons we have to learn is the same all along the way. But we have a spiritual learning style. So we're going to learn these lessons easier if we stay on our path and learn it according to the way we process things. So if you're a bhakti, you process it by loving. If you're a karma yogi, you process it by serving. If you're a jhana yogi, you process it by knowing. If you're a raja yogi, you process it by being. Isn't that cool?
It's awesome. I think that especially I have friends who are teachers, and they talk about identifying learning students, learning styles for students in the context of, are they a more visual learner, or are they a more auditory learner, or are they a more kinesthetic, hands-on student? And so I think that these are awesome tools from a spiritual standpoint to understand that, because it makes sense where, you know, one person may get lessons really quickly when they're presented in a certain context. It may take someone else a little while longer. However, then if they're presented in a different context, then they pick up on them very, very quickly. And
exactly.
It's very helpful. Very
helpful. Yeah, and if you look at some of these spiritual teachers, like Deepak is a wonderful example. Deepak is a jhana yogi, so he teaches very much to the intellect. He teaches to the intellect. He's an intellectual, and a lot of people love what he's saying, but they might go, oh, yeah, but I don't understand it, you know? But he's talking to the jhana yogis who are just like, oh, we totally get this, you know? But then someone else like a Marianne Williamson, who's all about love and bhakti, they get what she's saying. Well, Deepak and Marianne are saying the same things. It's just kind of coming at it from a different point of view. And so it depends on what kind of a learner you are to how you're going to get the lessons and be able to apply them to your own life.
And I think that that's such an important point, Lisa, because I think sometimes people, they just feel like that they've been reading and studying and going to see counselors and coaches and that sort of thing, and they feel like, oh my goodness, why is this same lesson coming up, or why am I going through this? And I think that what you're saying about understanding more about their learning style is just so crucial and can be so helpful, because it may help them, oh, okay, now I understand, or
right,
help them identify teachers that are really going to present things in a way that works for them. So I
yeah.
think that those are really significant points that you're making, and a really empowering understanding for people.
Yeah, and you know, I have a Dharma quiz, too, if people want to take the Dharma quiz. It's on whatsyourdharma.com, and Dharma is D-H-A-R-M-A. So it's whatsyourdharma.com, and just take the quiz, and it's so super simple. It's just like, you know, what kind of movie do you like? Pick one. It's multiple choice. You don't even have to say, you know, it's multiple choice. And it'll just come up with your Dharma. Now, this is not, you know, a rocket science, this quiz. If you're like, oh, well, I think I'm more this, more that, sure, maybe you are, you know. It's what resonates with you. But the quiz just kind of gives you a little bit of insight to help you look at things, some things to think about so that you can determine what your path might be.
And that's so helpful. I definitely would encourage people to visit. We're here with Lisa Coffey, L-I-S-S-A-C-O-F-F-E-Y. Her website is coffeetalk.com, C-O-F-F-E-Y-T-A-L-K.com. And as she mentioned, you can also visit What's Your Dharma, and Dharma is D-H-A-R-M-A, and get some great information on there on identifying your life's purpose and all that sort of, all those sorts of wonderful things. Lisa, we're just so delighted to have you with us, and you have so much great information that you share with us and just empower us with your wisdom. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. I love this. You know, I could talk about Ayurveda for days.
Well, we could listen to you talk about it for days. So you're in the perfect place. You're in the perfect place. Lisa, let's talk a little bit about how it's all connected in terms of, once people have begin applying Ayurveda and they get their health underway, and then have an understanding of, well, who am I in the world, and what is my purpose and my mission, and that sort of thing, which obviously we could have hours on that topic. Let's talk about relationships. And first of all, solidifying a healthy relationship with oneself, which is at the foundation of Ayurveda. Let's talk a little bit about that, because it seems that that's very elusive for some people, that they're more inclined to do, be, give to others what they just cannot seem to provide for themselves. And so let's talk a little bit about how Ayurveda can help them come into alignment first with themselves.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, because we're here to help each other learn and grow. So if you are just giving and giving and giving and giving, you're not practicing the law of giving and receiving. You need to receive. You need to receive knowledge. You need to receive gifts. You need to receive care. You need to receive all that kind of stuff that the universe is providing for you. Otherwise, you're going to deplete yourself, and you're not fulfilling your karma or your dharma anyway, and you're going to have to come back again, you know, if you believe in reincarnation, like these Eastern religions do. It'd be like, you know, you didn't get it. You didn't get the lesson. You're here to learn and grow and to help others. Allowing others to help you is a big part of it. You know, you can't be shut out from it. Relationships are reciprocal. You know, it's not a one-way street. I think the people in our lives are our greatest teachers. There are no coincidences in this life. Everyone you meet is here to either teach us a lesson, or we're to learn from that person, or both, you know? And by, you know, you can't ignore any relationship. You always need to say, okay, what is this about? What am I supposed to learn from this? What am I going to get out of this? And it's by doing that, you're really taking care of yourself too. It's being open to the cues that the universe gives you so that you stay on the path and that you're going in the right direction.
Ooh, that's such an excellent point, Lisa. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I have some people even in my own life that say, oh my gosh, I just, you know, I'm praying for a sign, and, you know, I ask that, you know, it be this big, huge, like, in the middle of the road sign so that I get it, so that I don't miss it, because some people just feel like that they just don't know how to read the signs when the signs are there.
So or the sign is there, and they go, no, that can't be it.
Right.
I'll look for another sign.
Right, exactly. Like, that seems completely crazy, or how would that ever work? So let's talk about that, Lisa, because I think that for a lot of people, especially in recent years, I know so many people that, you know, where the old paradigm or the old way of doing things just has become ineffective for them, and they're having new ways to cope and new ways to thrive, and so reading those signs and being open to change is more important than ever, I feel. So let's talk a little bit about how people can begin to, especially when they are looking for guidance, how they can recognize what those signs are.
Yeah, well, the very first thing, and this is so easy because this costs no money. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You just be quiet and listen to your body. I mean, your body is like this tuning fork of information for you. It's like, how do you feel about this? Say your boss says you're supposed to go on this certain trip. How do you feel about it? Are you excited? Are you happy? Do you get like a good feeling about it in your heart, like you want to go? Or do you get this kind of like nervous feeling and kind of your stomach is churning and you don't think it's such a good idea, you know? Listen to those signals of your body and then investigate further. Why is this happening, you know? And what do I need to look out for? It's the same way when you meet people, you know? You might meet a guy that, you know, from far away, oh, man, he's so cute. Oh, I want to meet that guy. Come on, you know, and you go and you shake his hand. And then in the back of your mind, you're getting that little cue that says, uh-oh, he's trouble. Don't get involved with him or whatever it is. That's your intuition, you know. Your body will tell you in one way or another, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? You know, what direction do you move into? And so follow these instincts, because that's the universe speaking through you. We're all connected to that great source. We're all like little rays of sunshine connected to the sun.
Oh,
and the sun's not going to let us down, you know?
Yeah.
We can't be disconnected. So when we tune into our intuition, it's like we shine a little brighter. We think a little deeper. We know a little bit more. You know, it's like we have those kind of inside secrets.
You know? I love that.
Just tuning into your body. And even when, you know, you're looking at a menu and trying to decide what to order, what appeals to you, not just by, ooh, that chocolate cake, you know, because that's our head talking, oh, of course I want chocolate cake.
Right.
But what sounds like this is what you need right now? What does your body need right now? You know, you could even, before you look at the menu, just kind of ask your body, what do you need right now? And then look at the menu, and something might just jump out at you, like, oh, yeah, I need this spinach salad, or I need this chicken soup, or whatever it is, that it's telling you this is what we need right now.
Mm.
So there's so many other little ways, and, you know, you might meet someone, and always be open to whatever happens. You know, if somebody says, oh, I want you to meet my friend, okay, meet the friend, because maybe it's not the friend you're supposed to meet, but it's the friend's friend. I mean, you never know where things are going to lead and what's going to happen, and down the road, you know, this may be your true love, or this may be, you know, the parent of your daughter's husband, or who knows, you know, what it's going to be, but it's always worth it.
I think that so many people, what happens, and would love to have you talk a little bit about this, Lisa, especially in the context of relationship with self and relationship with others, I think that what happens is people maybe have what they feel is a negative experience where they got hurt. Whether it was maybe they felt like they were listening to their body and they followed through, and maybe it wasn't really their body, it was their head that they were rationalizing doing something. Mm-hmm. Or that they got into a relationship that they thought was going to be perfect and it resulted in some sort of a loss or something mm-hmm. like that. And so it shuts them down in terms of being connected or being afraid of being open. Sarah, could you please share with us a little bit about what advice you have for people to move through that? Because especially I think as adults, it's like people want to feel safe and they want to feel protected. And that I think especially as adults, people tend to sometimes lean toward what seems safe and what seems comfortable, especially when they're providing for their families and they have a spouse and they feel like they have people depending on them. How do people really, step through fear into being open and being loving and that sort of thing?
Right. Yeah, fear is a hurdle because we all face it, you know. But A Course in Miracles says there's two things. There's love and there's fear. But really, there's only love because fear is the lack of love. So all you do with fear is you infuse it with love and the fear goes away. So you have to think of the what if. It's like, oh, I don't want to go into that room because what if it's filled with monsters? Okay, well, what if it is filled with monsters, right? So you go into the room and you deal with it then. But what if it's not? What if it's filled with the best opportunity you ever had in your life? You know, oh, hallelujah. So, you know, just you got to see what happens. Fear holds us back. It doesn't serve us. Fear comes from that base chakra, that fight or flight kind of a thing. But when we start moving up, we start making better choices and more spiritual choices. So like from fight or flight, then you go into the more creative space. You know, that's the second chakra is the, you know, where the sex organs are. That's where the creativity is and everything. You start thinking of more options, more possibilities. Then you go into the solar plexus chakra where it's more take action. What can I do? Wow, okay, I do have some control here. I can do this or I can do that. And then you move higher up into the heart chakra and it's like, oh, okay, I see the love in this situation. Now I can really relate to this situation and see how we're connected. Then you move up into the throat chakra and you're more into, how can I express myself here? And, you know, what do I have to say here? And then you go into the third eye chakra where you're really seeing what's real and what's not real. Monsters aren't real. What was I thinking there were monsters in that room? That's nothing real. What was I thinking? And then finally into the crown chakra where it's all spiritual, where you see that we're all connected, where you see that no matter what happens, there's nothing bad. It's all divine. It's all divine.
That's such an excellent description. Lisa, is there anywhere on your website or in your books that people can find that description that you just shared with us? Because it's very empowering for people to understand the, I guess, decision-making process and the process of reasoning things out.
Yeah, that's all in my new book, so you guys heard it before anybody else.
All right, great.
Well, that's the one that's going to come out probably November, December.
Oh, awesome. Love that. Love that. Definitely looking forward to that already. That's very, well, it's very empowering wisdom. So thank you for sharing that with us, Lisa.
Sure.
Because I think it helps people to understand the process and where they are in the process. It helps them to look at things with a more open perspective. And, mm-hmm. and I love what you were saying about fear, because I think so many times people become immobilized by what if, and they go to a negative place. What if it
right.
doesn't work out? And what if the sky comes falling in? And what if this? And they go to the past to reference the future instead mm-hmm. of being open to a new experience. And
that's right. Every day we're new. Every single day we're new. Every single choice is ours. And, you know, it's interesting because both in Ayurveda and in Vedanta and in the four dharmas and everything, our goal, like, okay, if you're on the spiritual path, where are you going? Yes, the journey is the destination, but what is our goal here? What is our intent on being, what are we trying to achieve by being on this journey, on this path? Well, what we're trying to achieve is liberation, freedom, transcendence, enlightenment. There's a million different words for it, right? So it's whatever that means to you. Well, when you have that, what does your world look like? Well, your world looks bright and beautiful all the time because you're not influenced by any outside sources. So you have the freedom of free will. You're not influenced by, oh, Mercury's in retrograde, I'm going to have a crappy week, or, oh, my boyfriend just insulted me, oh, this guy didn't show up for a date, oh, my boss yelled at me, oh, I didn't get that job, whatever it is, you know, somebody dinged my car. These things don't affect you because you realize that you're so much more than that, that your free will is what determines your future, not anything, anyone, or anything can say or do about you.
I like that. Free will determines your future.
Yeah, and that's all up to you. It's all on you. Now, see, I think some people don't want that responsibility.
Right.
They're like, oh, I can't handle that.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, you have a taste of it, and you're like, I like this, you know?
Well, I think, too, Lisa, it's this idea, too, where your validation is grounded and rooted in your true essence versus in the externals of what relationship you are or in what kind of a vehicle you're traveling or in what kind of a home you live or that sort of thing. And I think that that's where sometimes some of us get off track, is that we start going into the world looking for worldly validation, and that's where anger and frustration and guilt and shame and all that stems from, because we get disconnected from who we really are.
That's right. And it's so easy to compare yourself, you know, when you're watching TV and you're seeing those Real Housewives or you're seeing whoever, you know, the Kardashians, so easy to just say, oh, my God, I must be nothing. Look at them driving a Bentley. What am I? It's like, come on, you know, that's
right.
Illusion. That's all about illusion. And that goes away. It's only temporary. What stays? The love, the wisdom, the truth, the, you know, you, that's what stays. That's what's real.
And I think that's such an excellent point, Lisa, that you just made about, you were saying, like, the Real Housewives and the Kardashians, because I've heard people in conversations and say, oh, my gosh, you know, it's like I try to be a good person and I try to do things right and I'm nice to people, and it's like I just can't seem to get things moving in the right direction. And then they look at someone like that and it just feels like that heaven just opens up and, you know, showers down upon them. And I think that gets very frustrating for some people.
But it's all false. It's all illusion. That's what they don't realize. I mean, to explain how illusion works, illusion is Maya in Vedanta, right? The Sanskrit word is called Maya. And it's like we're sitting in this movie theater, right, and we're watching Batman Returns, and we see Batman run across the screen, and we're like, oh, that's Batman. And then you're like, wait a second, veil of illusion dissipates. That's not Batman. That's Bruce Wayne. We know that's Bruce Wayne. And then you're watching Bruce Wayne, and you go, wait a second, that's not Bruce Wayne. And the veil of illusion lifts again, and you go, that's Christian Bale. He's playing a character named Bruce Wayne who dresses up like Batman, and he's got everybody fooled, right? Then the veil of illusion lifts again. It's all this layers and layers and layers, right? And you go, wait a second, that's not Christian Bale. Christian Bale's at home somewhere, probably watching TV. That's just light. That's just illusions coming out of a projector on a screen. That's just a blank screen up there with a bunch of color on it. You know, this isn't real at all. This is a movie. Somebody wrote these words. He didn't just say them. He's reading someone else's words.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, so you just go on and on with these layers and layers of illusion. And you just always, what it comes back to is, what is real? What is true? It's spirit. It's love. You know, it's us. It's this essence. It's that connectivity. It's how we're all together. It's what we, it's, you know, it's the Dharma thing. So it's loving. It's serving. It's knowing. It's being. That's what's true and real and right.
And I think that that's such an excellent point today, especially. It's like we're technologically more connected than ever, and yet there's a lot of people feeling more disconnected than ever. Mm-hmm.
And very isolated. Very isolated.
Yes, that we live in what a world of 7 billion people, and yet there's people who feel so lonely that they just want to leave the planet.
Right.
And so I think that, that what you're sharing is especially significant and really creates the groundwork for, because everything flows, I think. Would you say it's safe to say, Lisa, that everything in our lives is a reflection of our relationship with ourselves first? So if something's showing up in our lives, it's offering us an opportunity to love ourselves more or take better care of ourselves if we're able to use that information and process it in a healthy way?
Oh, absolutely. It's a mirror. It's all, life is just a mirror saying, this is what you need. But take a look. This is what you need. You know, heal yourself first. Take a look at this. And you know, we're human beings. We're not robots. And when we're online all the time, we're not using our five senses. We're not, you know, we have the sense of sight that's being engaged very much, but we're not using the sense of smell or sense of touch or, you know, the sense of taste and very rarely the sense of hearing on the internet, you know, unless we're watching YouTube and it's, ah, Charlie bit my finger or whatever. I mean, what does this mean to us? It's in human relationships, we're in this human form to engage with each other, to talk with each other, to laugh, to listen, to cry with each other, you know, to touch, to hug. This is what we're here to do. We're not here to stare at this little black box on our desk all day.
And what you were saying about illusions and lifting the veil of illusion, that I think that what happens is we begin to think that it's real, like you were explaining about the Batman movie. And when we take a step back, we start to say, oh, wait a second, what really is real? And I think that that's significant because I think it becomes very easy to attach a lot of meaning to what goes on, as you put it, like inside the little black box.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it's important to reconnect with ourselves because I think that that's what happens is we get so disconnected from ourselves and then everything follows from that.
Yeah, and there's so many examples, you know, we're tied into the media. We're watching the media all the time. There's so many examples of, you know, celebrities or whoever that, wow, you think they have the best life, mm-hmm. and they're got the money and they got the clothes and they're happy and blah, blah, blah. And then you find out, oh, my God, their life is a train wreck. What? They're so unhappy. Even given every material item they could want at their fingertips, they're so unhappy, you know. That's not what's going to fulfill us. That's not what's going to fulfill us at all. That's not to say that you can't be rich and happy. Yes,
right.
You can.
Right. However, I think that's such an excellent point that you're making because I just had a conversation actually with a doctor today that was saying that it's concerning for him that he sees how many people in our young generation that their main goal is just to be famous in life, and they feel that that's going to be fulfilling for them.
Mm-hmm.
And even like you had mentioned about the Kardashians, they had done an interview, and they said that they set out to be in the fashion world, that the being famous wasn't necessarily, that was sort of like a side effect that that they had originally started doing their show because they wanted to build their business.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's just, I think it's important to connect with, you know, who we are and what our passion and our purpose and our mission is in this life. And
right.
You offer so many great tools for that, Lisa, and we could talk to you for another couple hours, and we just have a few more minutes for anyone just joining us. Lisa Coffey, Coffee Talk, COFFEYTALK. Lisa, just in the next minute, if you could give us what you'd like for us to check out online in terms of your websites and your books, and then also just maybe some parting words of a mantra or a motto maybe that you live by that you would be willing to share with us.
Okay. Well, I'm so into Ayurveda that I've been making these little videos that is like, I have one on Ayurveda and menopause, Ayurveda and allergies, Ayurveda and sleep, Ayurveda and weight management, a whole bunch of different topics. And they're on my brand new site, which is doshasmart.com, and it teaches you how to be dosha smart, how to keep your dosha in balance. And there's also quite a few Ayurvedic products, supplements, and things like that on the site. And if you want to purchase any of them, you can enter the code COFFEY10, COFFEY10, and it says that right on the homepage too, so you can't miss it. And you get 10% off. So it works out really good. And these are very high-quality products from Maharishi Ayurveda, and they're really, really nice. But one thing I want people to remember is something Dr. Ladd taught me, and it's about Ayurveda, and it applies in our lives. He says, don't love what you think should be. Love what is. And if you can just love what is, that takes away all the judgment, takes away all the... That's the real unconditional love. Loving as is. As is. It makes our life so much beautiful.
That is absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing your beautiful light and your wisdom and just all the excellent tips and strategies that you offer us every time you're here for living our best lives and living an Ayurvedic life. And so thank you so much for being here with us, Lisa. We're really grateful.
Thank you. Thank you for your show and all for all that you bring to the world.
You're very kind. For anyone who may have just tuned in, this is Unique, Y-O-U, Unique, Life Starring You. We were here with Lisa Coffey, C-O-F-F-E-Y-T-A-L-K. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you being here with us.